The book of Genesis, please. Chapter 24. And reading at verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lataroi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted of the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Read with me, please, in the prophecy of Isaiah. The prophecy of Isaiah, and chapter 63. And reading in verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling or marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the peoples there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Now to the book of the Psalms, please, and read with me in Psalm 24. And verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, seek after him, that seek thy face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift ye up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory, Selah. Now, a final reading in the book of the Revelation, please. The book of the Revelation, and first of all in chapter 21. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now look back to chapter 19. To complete the reading, and we'll break into it at verse 14. And the armies which followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the Lord bless to us what we have listened to in the course of the ministry this afternoon, and now the scriptures that we have read together. I want to speak a simple word. You may not think it's simple from the scriptures that I've read to you, but I'll assure you that I have a simple word on my heart for the close of the meeting. I want you to think about the questions are asked, because you do have a question posed, not only in the book of Genesis in chapter 24, and in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 63, and again in the psalm that I read in Psalm 24. And when you put these together, I believe they remind us of a man coming, first of all, for his spouse. Then you'll notice in the second passage, we have a man coming for his seat. And finally, you have a man coming for his scepter in Psalm 24. And then I read to you in the book of the Revelation, and I could have read to you in chapter 7, I didn't do that, just to conserve the time. But I will point out to you this, that when you come to chapter 7 of the book of the Revelation, you cannot progress in the development of the book any further at that stage. In other words, what the Spirit of God is doing in the remainder of its chapters, until you come to chapter 19 where we read together, the Spirit of God, first of all, from chapter 6 through on to chapter 11, he has been given to us his purposes in a quick survey. When you come to the remaining chapters of the book of the Revelation, the Spirit of God now says this, I'm going to go over the same ground, and I'm going to fill in the details for you and let you see the full picture of my purposes in relation to bringing the Lord Jesus back into his kingdom. The question that's asked in the book of Genesis chapter 24, I think it's a stirring question. Because, you know, when you link these chapters together, they're very simple, they're very stirring, and they're very sweet. Because you'll remember in chapter 21, we have Isaac as the son. When you come to chapter 22, you have Isaac yonder as the sacrifice. When you come to chapter 24, there you have him as the heir, and there you have him as well as the bridegroom coming for his bride. You know, it was the Father's purpose. There, Abraham's greatest desire was this, that before he died, why, that the servant would cross the desert and he would bring back for his son a bride suitable to him in nature and suitable to him in genealogy as well. That was the desire of the heart of the Father. And you know, dear brethren, listen, I believe away from eternity, God is trying to fill our minds and occupy our hearts with his purpose for his beloved son. And did you know, I didn't, that the night God saved me, God had thought about me for a long time. Away back in eternity, God decided that I would make up that number that would form the bride of Christ, that down through the ages, why, the Spirit of God would come, and he would work in one country and another country, and he would plunge into Africa and into India and into Ireland. I'm so glad he came to Ireland. He didn't miss Ireland. Because you know, even in Ireland, why, the Spirit of God picked up choice saints. And you know, in the aggregate of all these saints, he's going to bring them together. He has touched our souls in relation to our salvation, but you know, he's going to touch our bodies, and then he's going to bring us together in one glorious complement as the bride of Christ. And you know, dear brethren, the Spirit of God, the servant, like that man that Abraham sent forth, he's busy. He's taken out of the nations a people for his name to form the bride of Christ. Oh, I tell you this, the night God saved me, it never entered into my head, for I couldn't have taken it. I was no fit state to take anything like that. The thing that gripped my soul in its grandeur and greatness and grace was this: Christ had died for me. That's all I was able to take in that night. That's all the intelligence I had, but that was intelligence for eternity. That I realized he did die for me, and that he did take my place at Calvary. And in that moment of simple trust and confidence upon the value of his finished work, I was brought into the bundle of life. I was brought into the building. I was brought into the body. But bless God, I was to be associated with the number that would form the bride of Christ. I want to tell you, you're going to look good soon. Oh, you say, is there anything wrong with that? I didn't say that. I said you're going to look good in the future. Oh, I tell you, God has wonderful purposes for you. And I tell you this, if only as the people of God we could get a hold of it, that he has wonderful purposes for his son, and he's not going to leave us out. You know, when I think about Israel as a nation, I marvel, because I tell you, God and his sovereignty has purposes for Israel. But I tell you, he has purposes for the church that are far surpassing in glory and grandeur. Through the eternal ages, we shall be the display of wondering hearties in the glory when he presents us in all his wondrous beauty. I tell you, you show me a young woman. And I mustn't get sidetracked here now, because I'm not the best at this kind of thing. But you show me a young woman, and she's engaged to get married. There's a couple come over to see me before I left, so that's the reason I've got to go home at a certain date, because they're going to get married. But you know, when she came over that night, my, her eyes were dancing. Her eyes were dancing. She'd come over to arrange the wedding. And you know what she's busy doing now? What would you think? What would you think? Well, if you don't know, I won't tell you. Ask some of the sisters here. They'll tell you. She's busy engaged. And they're arranging what she'll wear. And she's looking forward to that moment when the big chap, for he is that. And I want to tell you,
The eyes will not be in the preacher. The preacher will be up there already. And he'll have appointed the places for the two men. And he'll look and smile at the bridesmaids as they come up. And he'll nod to the place because we put a wee bit of chop on for order. So that there's truth touch the chop. So that there's order. And the people look, you know, and they say, oh, there's the preacher and there's the others. And I want to tell you, listen, there's a rustle goes through the company. When there seems to be a signal away at the back, she's coming. She's coming. And you know, I always allow this liver. Now that's one time they can take their eyes from me. And sure as you're there, as soon as the ripple goes through, she's coming up. Every eye turns. And there they look at her. Coming up. It's her day. In all her beauty, she's adorned for it. Oh, dear brethren, listen, I want to tell you, as you go through the Word of God, I tell you, here is one of the things that seems to be stamped from the very moment of history upon the Word of God. God has decreed that he's going to have a bride for his son in keeping with his grandeur and his greatness and his glory. Yes. In chapter 24, there he is the heir and the bridegroom. She's been coming across the desert under the protection of the man appointed of the Father. And the Spirit of God has been bringing saints along. Brethren, I don't know what you think, but I think we're near the end of the desert. I really do. I feel it in my soul that soon we will shake the desert sands from our feet and the journey will be over. But listen. You know, I have never been in a camel and have no notion of trying it. There's easier modes of transportation. But I can assure you of this, the journey wouldn't be too long. You say, what makes you think that? Because I'll tell you, I think the man was filling her in. And he likely would tell her, you see, you're going to use your imagination? Yes. I love to use my imagination. You know, a person that has no imagination, why, they're kind of dull. Use your imagination. And keep it within the bounds of Scripture. But I would think he would say to her, you're a fortunate young woman. Oh, she would say, oh, you're fortunate. You're a very wise girl that you said you would go. Yes, she says, I'll go with a man. Because you know this, my father has given, my master has given everything to the son. And you're going to have a link with him. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. And the journey, I tell you, would be quick. As he would fill her in. Oh, you see, I hardly think that. Brethren, don't talk nonsense. What do you think the Spirit of God's doing now? What do you think he wants to do? He wants to enhance and reveal the person of Christ. Do you know the reason we can't worship? Because we're not listening to what the Spirit of God's telling us about his Son. About the Son. Worship is based on what I know about the Son. And brethren, I have no objections to you telling God how you could see it in Lord's Day morning. But I think God knows how you could see it. He would rather that you would tell him a little about the one who brings delight to his heart, the Lord Jesus. That's worship. Go in for knowing the Son. And then our morning meeting will not be a gospel meeting. Although, dear brother, and I believe that people who sit in the back could even get the Christ as the result of the worship that fills the hearts of the people of God. Now the journey's about over. She says, who is this? Who is this that comes to me? I said, it's my master. She took a veil and she covered herself.
That veil, of course, suggests to us the place of subjection and subordination. You know, we are living in a day when the veil in its spiritual connotation is being set aside. But here this woman covers herself. He says, "It is my master." And he takes her into his mother's tent. And he loves her. And he's comforted after his mother's death. Now I like that. Because you see, Israel has been set aside. That's the mother character. And the bride has been brought in. And he's comforted. Brother, and I believe this. Whatever place in Israel will have a wonderful place in the purposes of God, but shall never have a place like the place that the bride will have to the person of Christ. And I do not believe that Israel's the bride or has any part.
Amen.
I don't believe that. I believe the bride is unique. I believe the bride is eternal in its character and the purposes of God. That's the reason you and I have a place in the counsels of God unique that Israel will never have. When you come over to the book of the Revelation, and I read to you of that great event when the bride has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in garments white and clean. And of course, you remember, those garments suggest the righteous acts of the saints. So we'd always remember this. We are weaving what we'll wear. We're weaving what we'll wear. And here's a man. And he's coming for his spouse. You know, dear brethren, in the presence of God, there's a man. And he's waiting. That's the reason the apostle says, the Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting of Christ. That's it. The Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting of Christ. Oh, I wonder, are we waiting as patiently as he's waiting? Yes, there's not a doubt in my mind. Isaac would be waiting patiently, looking away down the road to see if the camels were coming. And there came that moment and she says, "Who's this that comes to meet us?" That's the reason, you know, the rapture is an essential part of the aspect of his coming. Because he's got to come to take us in. For the wedding. For the marriage. So as he can bring us out to display. So listen. There's a man and he's patiently with him. And when he comes out, he's coming out for his spouse. That's the first thing he's going to do in God's great program. I don't say God's prophetic program. Because if I did that, my alert brethren would be on me right away, and rightly so. Some dear friends with whom I stayed recently, this is not a pet beef with me, as they say in the world. Just gets me a little stirred at times. And they brought out folders and pamphlets. They said, "Take a look at that and tell us what you think about it." So I unraveled them all and looked at them. And they said, "Do you know who our tour host is going to be?" No, I said, "I don't know." And I told the preacher. Well, really, for my part, I really wouldn't have the time to host tours in Jerusalem. That's his business. We say, "Who was it?" You mind your own business.
So they said, we're going.
Good.
You think it's all right? Well, fine. If you like to go, it's fine. But I have really no interest. No interest at all. They said, wouldn't you like to go to Jerusalem? I said, well, I'm going. And they said, what do you mean you have no interest? Well, I'm going when things are better. Oh, you say things are settled down there now.
I'm not talking about that.
No, I'm not talking about that at all. But I said to my good friends in the hour, now I said, I want to tell you this, and I want you to listen to me. And will you do this for me? Now, when you come back, don't come back. Go as tourists if you will, but don't be coming back as prophets. You all come back as prophets. Do you ever know what's like? When they go to Jerusalem, as sure as you're sitting in the seat, they all come back as prophets. Oh, they said it was lovely. I have no doubt at all. And you were at Calvary. Oh, we were at Calvary. How do you know it was the right one? Oh, I never thought about that. Well, there's two of them.
Oh,
yes. One dear lady said to some people, she said, we'll never be the same again. That's wonderful. But I want to tell you a secret. She's just the same as ever she was. Just the same as ever she was. I said, what happened? Oh, she said, we sealed where the Lord sealed.
Oh.
And she says, we sang at the tomb up from the grave, he arose. I said, well, what about the rest of us who won't get there? How are we going to change? Must we go on a little boat to the Sea of Galilee? Must we go on the tour and sing up from the grave of your own? Sure, we might as well sing it here. That'll do us as much good. No, brother, listen. Wish that clock would stop, but the prophetic clock stopped. Sure is. So what I'm talking about just now, beloved brethren and sisters, is no part of prophecy. He's coming silently. Swiftly, at the end of the desert, to get his bride and take her in. Coming for his spouse. But then one day he'll start the clock. And I tell you, if you want to save a little money, but it's your business now. Don't misunderstand me. I have no fault with him going. But I want to tell you this. If you'll just wait till he takes you, you'll see things better and you'll enjoy it better, for you'll be in great company. You'll be in the company of the bridegroom of your souls. You say, I'm going for the honeymoon to Jerusalem. Oh, it's going to be a long honeymoon, isn't it? Oh, sure is. It's going to go on through millennia, out of eternity. Yeah. These days the honeymoon doesn't last long. Sure, they're a week or 2 weeks, and then it's the grind, and they get used to each other, and then there's the chafing. Oh, listen to your brethren. There's a man coming, and I want to tell you this. There's not a thing that I know of that can stop the bridegroom from coming to the end of the desert and picking us up today. Do you believe that? You don't. Well, that's a pity. When it's prophecy, that's better. Prophecy, dear brethren, will have details to be fulfilled within the time frame of those years. But you're living in a non-prophetic dispensation. When we can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of a door. And our hearts are longing to be with him evermore. He can come at any moment. We are any moment believers in the rapture of the church. Coming for his spouse. And when he does that, he'll take us into the Father's house. And then in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 63, I read to you another question. Who is this? Who is this man that comes to me? Oh, that's the bridegroom calling for the spouse. The prophet says, who is this? Oh, he's the son. Yes, says the prophet, he's the servant. Yes, indeed, says the prophet. He's the sacrifice. Yes, indeed, says the prophet. He's the sovereign. And he's the stone. And so you can go on through it. But I'm interested in this. Who is this? Who is he? He's the soldier. Oh yes, he's the bridegroom. When he's coming for us as the bride. But he's the soldier now. And he's coming and the question is asked, who is this that cometh from Bozrah with garments dyed red, traveling in the greatness of his might? What a majestic person. He's a conqueror coming. You say, where is he coming from? In the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, he has already left the glory. And he's coming out. And he's gone down into the valley. And he's coming because Israel's in the squeeze. And the armies from the east have come over Euphrates. And the western armies now have, and the question is asked prophetically, who's this that cometh from Bozrah with garments dyed red? He has swept down, yes, with his garments dipped in blood, as the mighty conqueror, the bridegroom, now the soldier. And he has come this time not for the to the air for his church, but he has come down to the place of emergency. He has come down to the valley. And thank God, if you read intelligently the book of the Revelation, there's a great victory there. He scatters his foes and delivers Israel. And what's he coming for? He's coming to secure his rightful seat upon the throne in Jerusalem. That's what he's going to do. Dear brother, and I have to say this, and I said, with a due regard for guarding my language, but I want to tell you, you're dealing with an apostate nation and government in Jerusalem just now. Don't forget that. They have no relationship to a man of the crucified that would spit on you if you told them he adored them. They're politically motivated. And no doubt the men who are leading, they're trying to maintain and preserve their very life in the country. A man said to me here recently, I was surprised at him. He said, brother, that's prophecy being fulfilled, all right. He says, do you not believe that prophecy was fulfilled in 1948 when they became a nation? I said, no, sir. And he looked at me. He said, you don't? I said, I don't. And I don't yet either. And I'll tell you why. Rather than the clock stopped. And whatever took place in 1948, I'm quite happy to believe that coming events cast their shadow before. Who's to say they won't be out of Jerusalem again? All right? Don't you worry because they're there in Jerusalem. The thing about prophecy is this, that there's a man coming to deliver them. In order that first of all, after he has come for his spouse, he's coming for his seat, the throne yonder in Jerusalem. Oh yes, and then we'll sing, Jesus shall reign, where'er the sun. Doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till noon shall wax and wane no more. And you know, in the little nation there, in all their desperate need and weakness, they're in the squeeze. My coming flashing from the celestial glories is the soldier. The stately soldier coming in all the dignity of his power. Who is this that cometh from Bozrah? There he's coming up. You know what I think about that? I always like to see little David coming up out of the valley. And the one hand under his arm.
carrying as best he can the armor that he absolutely refused. Oh, he didn't put Saul's armor on, and he wouldn't put Goliath's. But he took the armor off the big chap after he had removed his head quickly and sharply. And he took the head. Where did he take the head to? His tent? No. He took the armor to his tent. But he took the head up to Jerusalem. That's where he took the head. Took the armor to his tent. Ah, dear brethren, to let us see that in the place of government, he had removed the head of one who would usurp government. There he is now. He's coming up from the valley. Garments dyed red. From Calvary? Not at all. No. From the valley. From the valley. This is not the blood of propitiation upon his garments. This is the blood of conquest and redemption for his people. He's coming up to take his seat. And I tell you, it will be a great day for that little lamb. When the man that they said you're not fit or suitable to be in this country, we're going to crucify you, and we'll crucify you outside the city on a whole hill lone and grey. I tell you, when he comes back to it, dear brother, he's coming up from the valley with stately dignity, the victor of the valley. And the evidence of his victory is on his very garments. His blood spattered with the blood of his enemies. Now then, before I finish, the man that's coming for his spouse, the man that's coming for his seat. Now Psalm 24, coming for his scepter. Psalm 24, the psalmist demands moral characteristics for the man that shall sway the scepter. Clean hand. Everything moral about him. And I want to tell you, my Savior perfectly fits the moral requirements of the challenge. Because the moral requirements are twofold. That he may go up to the hill. And then you'll notice the other one. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall ascend unto his holy place? That's two places, brother. Moral requirements for a man who shall go up to the place of the throne. That's the hill. And a man with a moral characteristics that can go up to the place of the sanctuary. That's the holy place. And I tell you what. There was never a king of Judah's line or from the divided kingdom of Israel could ever go into the holy place. One boy cried it. He says, I wear the crown. Why shouldn't I wear the mitre? Try. Just try. He says, that's just what I'll do. And he found out there were priests and they thrust them out and they said, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah. He became a leper in his own house from the day of his death. But I want to tell you, here's a man of a new priesthood, of a new character of priest. For the epistle to the Hebrews says he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. One who has moral characteristics and personal rights. Not only to wear the mitre of eternal priesthood, but the coronation, the crown of sovereignty. And brethren, don't put into your mind that his kingdom finishes up at the end of the millennium, will you? Or it doesn't. He has the right to wear the mitre.
in the holy place. And in Zechariah chapter 6, it's a remarkable thing. The Spirit of God says, make a crown. Yes, for the king, no, for the priest. And put it on the head of Joshua, the high priest. And where will you put it? Put it in the place, in the sanctuary. When the council of peace shall be between them both. Psalm 24, all right now, he has come for his spouse. And he has come for his seat. Now he's coming for his scepter, and both are involved. And as they come up, he says, lift up your heads, ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. And the watchman from within the hall of the walls shout out, who is this King of Glory? The Lord mighty and valiant. Can you hear him cry? And again the challenge goes out, and the gates are lifted. And that's when you and I go to Jerusalem. We'll look better then. And it will be great then. And we'll be in the best of company. The company of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're looking for. You know what we're waiting for? For the bridegroom to come for his spouse. And we're living for a man that is going to associate as well in coming for his seat in Jerusalem and his scepter where he shall reign from the river to the ends. Oh, dear brethren, we have a wonderful future. Let us lift up our heads for our redemption.